So I'm super pumped that you guys are here. This is a new series that's going to go for 3 weeks called Through the Darkness. And I'm praying and I believe that this is going to be probably the series that we remember the most from the year. I think it's going to be a powerful series for all of us. As I've been studying and preparing and getting ready to teach it, it's been impacting me, and it's needed. And because when you look around at the world, there are scary things happening. From friends committing suicide to all sorts of illnesses, kids shooting up schools, bullying is rampant. Maybe you're asking the question, what is happening? And I know a lot of people are. Maybe you're thinking, is it even safe for me to go to school? I mean, I see in the news, the guys that shoot up schools, is there someone like that in my school? Is it safe for me to be there? I don't know if your school or your parents are talking about it. I think so, and I hope so, but we need to here as well. And so listen, going into the series, I want us to all just go in with this attitude. God, if you have something to say, I'm listening. It's just with your arms open wide and your hands outstretched. God, whatever you have for me, speak, because I'm listening. I want to hear it. So you talked about what you're afraid of. Some of the common answers are like this little guy right there, spider. Anybody afraid of spiders? What about coming up on this guy in the grass? Snakes. Some people are afraid of snakes. What about heights? That freak you out right there? Yeah, that's freaky. Here's something that we could all, most of the time, would agree that a lot of people are afraid of, and that's the dark. A lot of us are afraid of the dark. So sometimes I have to come back to church late at night to get something out of my office, so it can be 11 or midnight before that I've been here. And it's all locked up, all the lights are out. And there is something, when you walk into a big, empty, dark, silent church, is the freakiest thing in the world. I don't know why, but it is scary. One night I was coming into church, it was like 11 o'clock at night on a Saturday night before Sunday morning. And normally I just book it down the hall, get right into my office and grab what I need and get out. I was coming down this hall, I hadn't even turned on the lights because I was just trying to get in and out fast. I don't mess around at late night at churches. So I was halfway down the hall, right about where this kids hallway is that goes that way. And all of a sudden, I hear a noise come down from the hallway. And I stop in my tracks, and I'm silent. It's one of those moments where your heart starts beating so fast that you can hear it. You can hear your heart beating. And I'm standing there for 5 seconds, and then I hear another bump down the hallway. And so I book it. I run as fast as I can because I want to get to my office and get the lights on. I did not want to be in the dark. The answer was to get to the light. And so there's something about darkness that makes everything feel just a little scarier for some reason. And no, I don't know what it was. I think it was just weird noises. I don't think anyone was in here, but I wasn't about to go see. I wanted to get out of the dark. So some of you were saying, I'm not afraid of the dark, that's lame, but I think we can all admit that when we are in a pitch black place, we feel a little bit uneasy. It's not as comfortable as where the light is. And so when it comes to sudden darkness, when it comes to darkness that is around you, there's only one goal when you get to that place: find your way back to the light. And so we can all agree that our world is a dark place. There's at least dark moments. There are a lot of places that darkness can show up in our lives. In global events, like terrorist attack, starving kids that you see, on the commercials and in third world countries, destruction by natural disasters all over the globe, in our communities, darkness is all around. Devastating storms like the tornado just last summer in our community, terrible car crashes and diseases, death of a teacher or a student or someone that's maybe even your friend or a family member. And as it gets closer to home, you start asking the question, could that happen to me? Is that going to happen in my home? And eventually, darkness comes into our personal lives, with parents fighting or even getting divorced, loss of a friend or a family member. You get bullied at school. or you're kicked off the team, or you're flunking out of your classes. And so this darkness just begins to settle over your life. And so our world is hurting, our community is hurting, and I know that many of you are hurting, and God knows too. So we act differently when darkness comes. Some of us lash out in anger, some of us get sad and cry, some of us just feel numb and we can't move and we just kind of isolate ourselves. But most of us tend to do one of three things. We either push whatever is difficult aside and avoid it, so we're avoiders. We freeze and we just get stuck where we're at. We don't want to confront it. We're freezers. Or we immediately try to find a solution and we try to fix the problem. We're fixers. So are you an avoider? Are you a freezer? Or are you a fixer? You're one of those three when trouble and darkness and problems come. But Jesus knows this all too well. Jesus knows what it's like to feel in the dark sometimes. And when we throw out Jesus as the answer all the time, sometimes I even feel like there's got to be more than just the churchy answer. You can't just say Jesus is the answer and Jesus can't fix what I'm going through. Is that really the best thing you can say? Well, you're right, there are no easy churchy answers. And maybe saying Jesus is the answer isn't really what you need to hear, but we can learn from people in the Bible, and especially from Jesus, who went through darkness and came out the other side. And we're going to look at a story that was recorded by one of Jesus' closest friends about a man named Lazarus. And we're going to do that right after our first discussion time. So jump right on into the first discussion time in your groups. Your leader's going to ask some questions as you think about kind of this topic and get the ball rolling as you talk, and then we'll jump right into part two of our teaching with Lazarus. Go for it. Hey, let me jump right back on in, and we're going to jump straight to John chapter 11. So if you have your Bible, turn there. If not, all the scripture I think is going to be on the screen for us tonight. So listen with me and read along on the screen. As I read John chapter 11, we're going to jump right into verse 1 through 3. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick, obviously. We just read that. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." So just from reading a few verses, we see that Lazarus wasn't just some random guy. Jesus and Lazarus were friends. In fact, Lazarus' sisters even referred to Lazarus as the man that Jesus loved. So Lazarus was one of Jesus' best friends. And in Bible times, when you get sick, chances are you're not going to make it. When you get very sick, chances are you're probably going to die. And so imagine for a moment how Jesus felt when he heard that one of his best friends was probably dying. Imagine hearing that one of your best friends is probably dying. That's more than just feeling upset. That's more than just feeling sad. That is a dark feeling. And so here's what you need to understand. This is an example of Jesus feeling pain in this story. He's feeling hurt. He knows what it's like to walk through darkness. So let's look at what happens next. We'll jump to verse 17 to pick up the story. When Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. You see, people respond differently in darkness. People respond differently in situations where they are stressed. If I dumped a box of real live, not just these snakes, but real live snakes right here in the middle of the floor right now, there'd be some different reactions that would happen immediately. Some of you would be out of that room as fast as you could get to the door, and others of you would be like, "Oh, I want to," and you'd come look at the snakes because you want to see them. That's pretty cool. Now, we react differently to the same situation. Mary and Martha had two different responses to the story that they were living in of their brother Lazarus. And Jesus is okay with that. Jesus is okay if you may not act how someone else acts. in response to a tough situation. There's no right response when you're in the darkness. And so you come to Jesus with how you are feeling, and Jesus will listen. I can only imagine how Lazarus' sisters were feeling, Mary and Martha. All sorts of emotions, sadness, anger, frustration. Look at the first words out of Martha's mouth when she saw Jesus. The very next verse says this: Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died." Can you imagine blaming Jesus? Your brother dies and your first response is to blame Jesus. That sounds so crazy, but you know what? We do it all the time. When we think, God, why is this happening to me? Or God, why did you allow that to happen to me? Or God, how long am I going to be in this? Or God, why aren't you answering my prayers? We do the same thing. If you would only. So we don't blame Martha for her frustration. She was hurting, and Mary was hurting too. She responded very differently, though. She stayed inside. While Martha ran to Jesus, Mary stayed inside. Maybe she was numb or in denial. Maybe she was just too exhausted from crying. You've probably been there. You just don't want to get up and do anything. But Jesus met them both in their different places, in the different ways that he needed to, so he can handle whatever you're going through. Jesus knows how to help you through the darkness because he created you and he knows what's best for you. And so let's continue the verses in verse 23 through 24. It says this: Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day." So she's saying, "Yeah, I know Jesus. I know what you've taught. I know that you say in the end, you're going to rise everyone up and you're going to fix things. Eventually, we're going to be in heaven. It's going to be perfect. I know that's what you teach, but I want you to fix things now." Have you ever been there where you know one day I could give you all the right answers? God works all things together for the good of those who love him. You know, you're going to come out better on the end of this. God's going to grow you. All that is junk when you're in the middle of the darkness. None of that matters. All you want is to be fixed now. And so that's an okay prayer to pray. But I don't know if this will encourage you or not. Sometimes not everything needs to be fixed right now. See, here's what I think this verse says. Some things need to be walked through and listened to. Sometimes you just got to go through it. And Jesus promises that he's there to listen. See, look what happens. This is a long section for a screen, but it says Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus' grave to weep, and so they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked him. And they told him, "Lord, come and see." And then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" And Jesus wept. The shortest verse in the Bible. Two words, two of the most powerful words in this passage. In two words, we understand that Jesus was experiencing loss. He experienced pain and sadness. And you want to know why he wept? A lot of times we think it's because his friend died. It's not. Because what does the Bible say? When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up in him. And he was troubled. That's why Jesus wept. He looked around and saw that everyone else had no hope. They were blaming. They had nothing to believe in. If you ever feel like you don't have a hope in your school because of your grades or how horrible your teachers are or because of how people treat you, if you ever feel like you don't have a hope for a future because you don't know what God is up to and you don't see anything working out down the road, if you don't feel like sometimes there's a hope in your home because of the state of your family, when you feel like you have no hope, Jesus weeps over you because he cares for you in that darkness. Jesus understands the hurt that darkness brings. And you know the rest of the story. He goes to the tomb. It stinks. He's been dead for 4 days. He calls Lazarus up from the grave. Lazarus literally rises from the dead and walks out of the tomb. But Jesus didn't show up to do that immediately. He could have walked straight to the tomb and fixed everything, but he didn't. He didn't brush aside the sadness or the anger they were feeling. He didn't rush through the darkness to get to the other side. He didn't skip the emotional part. Kind of reminds me of a scene from Inside Out. So let's watch this. So that clip illustrates the point, I think, that Jesus was making to Mary and Martha and everyone else that was there. And it's the big idea for our night. That when things are dark, you have to feel before you can heal. You don't want to avoid it. You don't want to just freeze. You don't want to just try to fix it. It's okay to feel the pain and the hurt. Know that you're not alone in it, though. See, most of us think that there's no after the story of our darkness. It just feels like we're going to be there forever. But there was an after for the darkness of Lazarus' story. He got up out of that grave and kept on living. There was an after for the darkness of Mary and Martha's story. Their brother was healed. And there's going to be an after for whatever darkness you may be going through. And Jesus promises to be right there with you the whole way. And so I'm going to leave you just with two thoughts. First is that your hurt left alone will eventually hurt someone else. You don't want to avoid your hurt. You don't want to ignore your hurt. You don't want to just keep shoving your hurt and your darkness down deep. Eventually, that's going to come out. Don't leave it alone. It's okay. Walk through it with someone else. And then the second thing, which that leads to, is this. Hurt can't survive being talked about. Man, if you could remember one thing, I would hope it would be this. Listen, hurt can't survive being talked about. That means that when darkness is brought into the light and you actually open up to someone about what you're going through, the hurt and the darkness is going to die. Light will win every time. When darkness and light collide, what wins? Light. Light overcomes darkness. In fact, 1 John 1:5, which is what I put on the little poster that we have back there, it says that the light has come into the world and darkness could not overtake it. The light has won. When you talk about what's going on, the light wins and the darkness dies. Hurt can't survive being talked about. So if you want to have the after story of your darkness, begin to talk and share and work through it together. Jump on into your last discussion time. Then we're going to have one little activity of kind of talking and sharing about what dark things that we see going on in our world today, okay? So go on, you got 7 minutes, and then we'll spend just a minute or two as we wrap up.